Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
I mentioned in my intro that Pick and Pay reported its numbers earlier today, but they also mentioned that they're going to be listing their low-cost boxer business on the JSE by the end of this year to raise as much as 8 billion rand. And to talk to us a little bit more, not just about the numbers, but also about the strategy going forward, we are joined by Pick and Pay CEO Sean Summers. Sean, thank you so much for your time this evening.
My pleasure, Anastasia.
So, I mean, before we get into the numbers, let's talk about the past 12 months since you came back. I can imagine it's been a whirlwind for you, probably what you would describe as both the fastest and longest year. Take me through how you're feeling right now.
I'm feeling obviously very different to a year ago. It's been an extraordinary year. It's been cathartic on many levels. To a large degree, it's restored my faith in the Pick and Pay system and the Pick and Pay people. We have extraordinary people within the company. But it's been a very challenging year, obviously. I mean, we've had to step through a very, very complex debt situation with the 11 bank lender group. And in January this year, breaching our covenants, which presented a whole host of challenges of its own. And an extraordinary amount of work that Lorena and the finance team had to do with rescheduling and getting all of those new agreements in place. And then obviously dealing with the balance sheet. And I mean, the primary issue there was doing the two-step recapitalization, the first of which was the rights offer, which is very well supported, 104% oversubscribed in May. So that saw 4 billion return to the balance sheet. And now we have the upcoming IPO Boxer. So we're ready to go. All things being equal and market conditions prevailing, we see that concluding by the end of this year, and that will release somewhere between 6 and 8 billion onto our balance sheet. And at that stage, we'll have a strongly recapitalized balance sheet, no debt at all, and we will in fact then have money to have a look next year to then start redeploying back into our core Pick and Pay retail business. Which up until this time, and I mean in this year that we've been in now, as Lorena was saying this morning, I always had to have been running on fumes because the little bit of money that we had, we dedicated to Boxer growth and to Pick and Pay clothing growth to make sure that our two strong growth engines there could continue to grow while we were dealing with getting Pick and Pay stabilized and turned around.
The last time you and I spoke, you said that it was going to get worse before it gets better. Is the worst behind you now? Can we look forward to the better part?
Certainly. As I shared today, that as disappointing as today's results are, there's nothing there that is unexpected. It was all as per our forecast, which gives us succor that our business plan going forward and the trajectory to return to profit, that we're pretty much on track to achieve that. So I can confidently say that the worst is now behind us.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of things. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the listeners would have seen various articles around Pick and Pay and store closures and resizing of stores, etc. When it comes to those stores that you are planning to either close, convert or franchise, what's the progress on that front?
The progress on that front has been absolutely, again, as we planned it up until now. And the issue is that, you know, if stores are patently no longer fit for purpose, deal with them. You know, every single retail business in the world, it doesn't matter which one it is, has some delinquent stores in its portfolio. And we've taken this situation and this opportunity now to critically reassess right across our network of stores. So those that are clearly not fit for use, either as a Boxer, a franchise, or a corporate store, those we're dealing with. And I think there'll be maybe somewhere between another 25 and 30 stores that we may close next year. The balance of the 70-odd that are in that group will either go to franchise or to Boxer. And we will then start again opening new stores. We've unfortunately only got two new corporate stores for next year. We've got about 7-8 franchise stores confirmed, so about 10 new stores for next year. And then from 2026 onwards, we'll be firmly back on the front foot again.
Speaking of being back on the front foot again, a lot of the times when we talk about those in your space, in the retail side, we've got a consumer who is choiceful because they are still under a bit of pressure in terms of getting yourself competitive around the market gain side of things. How are you thinking about that competitive space?
So the first thing we did was that we addressed the pricing in Pick and Pay. It was clear that we were not competitive. Hence some of the pressure on the margin downward. But, you know, it's like playing golf. You can't play golf without a golf ball. So we just had to take the punch and fix up the pricing. Pick and Pay today is very, very competitive. And by all of the measures that are done in the marketplace, that is a fact. And we are now working out how we're going to remedy the margin and dealing with some of the issues that we have in the organization where we know that we've got some inbuilt disadvantages. For example, in distribution infrastructure and what have you, we were most probably overstructured in the Gauteng region, where there were some very bold investment decisions that were made, especially in the Eastport distribution center, you know, over 250,000 square meters, which is clearly too big for current requirements and will most probably be for quite some time. So we are busy in a lot of discussions and negotiations as to how we will deal with that, along with the many other issues that we're dealing with in the company. If I gave you the list of current works underway, it would make your head spin. But, you know, this is all part of the journey, and that's why we said it's a multi-year journey. So we are confident that within the time frame that we indicated, that we will get pretty close to getting the company back into the sunlight.
Yeah, I'm sure it will make my head spin, but let's talk private label penetration for a moment. I mean, where are you seeing it going, and where is it right now compared to what you may have seen before?
It's about half of what it was when I left. And that's, you know, it's obviously presents an enormous opportunity. So as disappointing as that is, it presents an enormous opportunity for us to go forward. And to refocus on our house brand as a part of our business. But the hallmark of Pick and Pay has always been as a branded business. And, you know, that's always been the front door of our store. You know, fresh and branded was always our go-to in the company. And our house brand played a part and parcel of our range makeup. So we will look for house brand to grow again, but not at the expense of all.
In terms of the other rest of Africa region, you spoke about Nigeria in your results presentation, the decision to sell that 51% share of the joint venture.
Yeah.
But Namibia, for me, is what I found fascinating, given, you know, where the franchise agreement is sitting at. You've terminated that. But you spoke about exploring opportunities on that front. What would those opportunities look like?
It's, I mean, clothing, we'll go into Namibia with clothing. And then at a point in time, we'll reassess what we do in Namibia with regards to the Pick and Pay brand. But it's not a priority. It's not a focus for us. So, you know, we're obviously disappointed with the decision in Namibia, but it's not material for us in terms of the group. The most exciting thing for us in the rest of our Africa business is Botswana. We've completed negotiations with Botswana to take that business back as a corporate business. We're busy finalizing the DD at the moment with our three franchisees who held that business in Botswana. We'll be able to recapitalize it. That business, too, has been underinvested over a protracted period of time. Zambia continues to trade incredibly well. The challenge in Zambia, obviously, is with power outages. They're down to over 20 hours or up to over 20 hours a day of load shedding now. You know, the Kariba Dam is virtually empty. And then in Zim, our business in Zim trades incredibly well. The stores look fantastic. But the Zim currency remains a major challenge. And we hope, beyond all hope, that at some point in time, some stability does come into that.
Let's talk about something a little more exciting as well, the Boxer listing. I think a lot of people have been talking about the timelines or what that timeline would look like. And your CFO said that it would depend on the markets being at the right place. What does the right place look like? What does that mean? Does it have to be the macro aspect? How would you know that now is the time to go?
No, I think, I mean, the markets are stable at the moment. When we say market dependent, I mean, if there was some massive calamity that took place in the markets, one would obviously then review the situation and maybe delay. But we certainly believe that the way that the markets are looking currently, despite all of the sort of the world instabilities, the markets seem to have a mind of their own and continue going forward in a fairly stable way. So we're ready to go. And at this stage, the markets look like they're stable and receptive of the Boxer listing.
Speaking of being receptive, I mean, you've got a lot on your plate, you and the team. You're focusing on so much as it relates to Pick and Pay, but you're also paying attention to the macro side of things, the conversations around the GNU positive sentiment and how people are feeling, especially from the business side of things. What are you paying attention to as it relates to the positive sentiment that is filtering through around the GNU? Like, what are you watching out for?
We're watching. I mean, it's early signs that, and there are positive outcomes. I mean, I'll give you a classic. We had a situation with some rather silly legislation that was proposed, and I needed to get hold of the Minister of Agriculture. I sent an email to his office at 10 o'clock on a Friday morning. I had a one-on-one Zoom call at 3 o'clock on the Monday afternoon with the minister, not with the DG or anybody else. And by the time I spoke to him, he was fully appraised of the situation. I can't imagine that situation happening in times past. I think what is very important on the government of GNU, that we remain focused and fixed on the bigger picture, that we don't let some of the small little sideline skirmishes take our eye off the prize here. And the prize is that South Africa, yet again, if we have a look at our government of national unity, it's something that the world needs. I mean, if you look at the fractious politics in every country, from Australia to the United Kingdom to the USA to France to wherever you go, I think more and more countries need governments of national unity. You know, let's just get the nonsense out of the room and let's focus on the job ahead and get it fixed.
Speaking of the job ahead and getting it fixed, Sean, thank you so much for your time. And we do wish you all the best. And hopefully when we chat the next time, it'll be around the Boxer listing. There'll be lots of excitement and we'll have you and Merrick on the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Nastasia. Have a great evening, you and your listeners.
That is Sean Summers, who is the CEO of Pick and Pay. And looking at where that share price closed, down 0.1%, currently trading at 26.40 rand.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on Kaya 9.